Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling.
What's up? What's up? Everybody, welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and what a week it has been. We have had data galore. We had Apple earnings, a miss. Apple now testing that low put in on August 24th. We had Boeing getting clobbered. We've got the markets that are witchy-watchy, but they are actually trending lower. We've also had Facebook, which just absolutely knocked it out of the ballpark, stock flying. And, of course, we had our good friends at the Federal Reserve, and as we talked a little bit about yesterday with our friend Trey Canepa, why the Fed exists. And of course, as you know, this show is not a big fan of the Federal Reserve in its current state and structure, because we believe that they have totally wiped out free markets as we know them, and we need to get back to letting markets trade themselves, because at the end of the day, okay, it is about free markets and what they do. And until we figure that out, and until we allow the ability of free markets and price discovery, we are going to continue to have these same problems, because we do not allow the markets to do what they're supposed to do, which is free trade. Markets themselves have every ability to take care of themselves, price themselves. And when we don't allow them to do that, what we do find out is that the free market price discovery model is not working. And the sadness of all that is if you don't allow it to work and you don't allow it to do what it's supposed to do, then you end up in more of a peculiar mess versus a market that can trade and function. Now, forever and everything we do is based on that free market and that price discovery model. And if you don't put yourself in that position of free markets and price discovery, you end up putting yourself in a major jam and in a bad position. And that, unfortunately, is the position we are in now. We are not in the position of allowing markets and asset classes to reprice themselves. We've talked about this all week, and of course, everybody is under the same opinion and agreement, with the exception of one, the people that make the decision. Now, you would think that at some point we might understand that maybe they're wrong, because certainly what they have done is create a house of cards, an economy with no foundation. And for anybody who's ever built a house or built anything, if you see that you have no price discovery, if you don't have free markets, you don't have big profits, you have troubles. And that is the direction that we're seeing right now, is we don't see real direction, nor do we see real growth. Ask anybody who manufactures a product, and I'll tell you something. If I hear one more company or guy say that, well, you know, it's, we have the free market ability, but we're not using it. I'll cringe. I can't deal with it because we don't do it. We don't do the right things or what is supposed to be done within our economy. And the solutions are simple. But of course, when you have people and organizations glomming onto your cash and taking away your money, it doesn't logically fit the overall situation in which we're trying to. And I find that to be somewhat distressing as I watch the destruction of the American spirit. Now, one thing we know in life is as long as you have hope, you have time, you have a chance. But the minute that the hope leaves, that takes everything else away from you. And I find that what we're seeing a little bit of now is the hope that we can get better, the hope that we can get and move on and move past this. Because when you take away everything that gives people an equal opportunity to turn into a business and go from a garage to a multi-billion dollar corporation. And that is really what we're seeing here. And you're seeing it with the new, all the politics that are going on. Certainly the Bernie Sanders, you know, 90% tax rates and things like that. I mean, who would want to go work? I mean, what happened to capitalism? I mean, is it not part of our mantra that if you can do something better and build a better mousetrap or whatever, that you should be indeed rewarded for it? But of course, our people, those people don't see that. Now, I don't know how you cannot see that. I mean, it seems rather simple. It seems like the solution would be rather simple. Instead of watching the Federal Reserve destruct our economy, instead of watching the likes of Janet Yellen talking about data dependency, I'd like to know what data they're looking at. Because I know that the data that I'm looking at says we got problems and we have to make drastic measures to fix those problems. Because the longer you try and kick those problems down the road, the longer you will find yourself, and the deeper in the hole you will find yourself. Like any other business, okay, problems in finances need to be settled immediately. And if you don't do that, you are going to find yourself in dire straits. And we don't have to be there. If we can get one person to step up and say, hey, let's do it, then we can fix this. And I know we can fix it, but we have to make some big changes to get to that point of fixing it. But while you're waiting for them to fix it, and God knows how long that'll be, make sure you get that portfolio of yours hedged. You get it set up so you don't have to worry about it. Because rocky times are coming. And I don't want any of my listeners, my Bubba Show friends, to have to deal with the problems that are forthcoming. Make sure you go to BubbaTrading.com and check out the hedge program. Check out how to better defend your portfolio. When you miss a show, LibertyTalk.fm will have it posted every day on demand. Get the podcast. For now, this is the Bubba Show, Top Bubba Orange. We're going to stop out here for a break, and we're going to come back with our friend, Taylor Blaisdell, from the title group, The Bubba Show, Top Bubba Orange. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horowitz, and you know, I can never find her when I want her, but she's always around. But she is really good in the markets, and she's an old-time veteran. Well, she's not old, she's young, but she's a veteran of the markets and a veteran of the floors. My friend Taylor Blaisdell from the Blaisdell Group. What's actually, it's Title Group. Sorry, not the Blaisdell Group, the Title Group. Sorry, my dear. What's up?
That's okay. Not much. How are you?
I'm good. So, you know, Taylor, I thought it was important, you know, as we see markets, you know, zipping around and going back and forth. And of course, we've seen some ugliness over the last few weeks. And then we had that major rally a week ago on Wednesday. And we saw this stuff going back and forth. But I think I like what you kind of do. And you know, you've always been, from my knowledge, a very much of a systematic trader. And I want you to explain to the listeners your model and how it really generates trades and what it's not necessarily what it's looking for, but how it really works. Because you really, you know, you don't make money every day, you don't make money every week, but you make money and you over time, but you don't have to have the aggravation of the day-to-day battles that go on. So take us through how you go about a typical day and what you're doing when you're playing with your model.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I do strip out a lot of the noise. So what's different about a systematic strategy and one that I trade is that it's, some people view systematic strategies as being high frequency and trading often. And this systematic strategy is very unique in that it trades only once a day, market on close. And it strips out all the intraday noise and really focuses on close to close price information, and specifically speaking to sort of the VIX and the S&P and some other proprietary measures, but it strips out the intraday noise and says on a close-to-close basis, what does that price information tell me about the market? And it's looking for more of a, you know, 10-day to 2-week to a month trend and catching those waves of sort of, or ultimately trying to catch those waves of sort of price information of saying, hey, this is overvalued or this is undervalued, and not in a valuation perspective, but on a fundamental and technical perspective of how can we catch the momentum and utilize that in a way where we can be long and or short the market at any given time to capture those waves and generate alpha while incurring sort of the least amount of risk possible.
And I mean, isn't that really what really trading and investing, and not so much investing, but trading is about stripping out that noise? Because again, you know, anybody is affected by noise, which is why, you know, when I'm focusing and trading, I'm watching Seinfeld or a movie or horse racing because I don't want to have the noise. Well, true story. Okay. I don't want to have the noise because, you know, many people out there, they talk a lot of noise. And we got into this whole thing of, well, oil is the main thing now. And because oil is going down, the markets are going down. And your model doesn't care what oil is doing from day to day, minute to minute, or week to week. It has no interest in what oil is doing. All it does is it takes, it encompasses the entire package and puts it together and formulates an opinion based on the proprietary indicators that you have built in after all your years of experience, and it just generates a trade. And the nice thing is, you don't, you know, again, it doesn't work every day, but over time it works, and you get the trade generated every day, and you don't have to think about it, and there's no hemming and hawing and foofing over the machine, like sweating, you know, oh my God, what's going to happen next? It's like I'm in from 6 Eastern tonight, and I'm out tomorrow at 4 Eastern, right? Is that basically the way it works?
Yeah, exactly. It's more unique in that it's not high frequency, but it does, you know, it does change every day. So you can be long one day, short the next day, and it's sort of trying to capture market movement and reduce risk. And it's unique that you bring up the oil thing because everyone's talking about that. And, you know, the big buzz right now is that oil is, the market's highly correlated to oil right now and given down. And you have to be very careful with that trade. And I don't trade that way, but that doesn't always hold. And, you know, when oil first started tanking in 2015, you know, the market wasn't really that correlated. And so, you know, I think it has more, it's more of an inflation, a deflationary trade in general than it is just the crude trade. But you have to be careful with that because the market is dislocated in a sense of, I think, debt capital allocation and hedge funds unwinding. There's a lot of dynamics in the market right now. So speaking just to oil is sort of tough. But you are right that it is, people are talking about it right now and it is highly correlated, but it isn't always. You have to be careful with that trade. And what's unique about the market, and I think a lot of people aren't talking about, is that in 08, oil was, crude was down big before the market really wanted to believe that the rally was over, right? Came off that summer, and then the market didn't really catch up to that pace until, you know, September, and mostly really October of 08. And I think you're sort of seeing that more so right now, different time of year, obviously. But I think the market's sort of feeling that shock. And there's a lot going on in the debt world that will, I think, continue to attribute to the changes and sort of the secular moves of the market. But the model's unique in that, you're right, it can go long or short depending on the market move. So, for example, if futures open down 30 handles on a Sunday night, which hasn't happened for a while, but say, you know, it happened probably 5 times last year, the model's not going to sell the market down 30 handles. I mean, that's just not, you know, not, it's gray box in the sense it's just not going to sell the market down 30 handles. But those opportunities are great for the model, because usually when the market opens down 30 handles on night four, it doesn't necessarily end down 30 handles, if that makes sense.
No, your model, it makes a lot of sense. I want to interject one thing here, because this is a great example. I did a call on Sunday night, and I said to everybody on Sunday night, I says, look, I know that this model that I follow is going to be short tomorrow, and I don't know the inner workings of it, but I can tell you one of the things that's important is if you take a look at the VIX on Monday, on Friday, last Friday, 6 days ago, whatever it was, the VIX closed right on the mean. Okay, which means that we haven't had that great whip in the VIX, where we haven't had that great, you know, everyone wants to talk about the possible capitulation on 2 weeks ago or a week ago, but at the end of the day, that really wasn't a true capitulation, because the VIX did not react violently when that happened. It just spiked up a little bit, but did not get carried away. Closing on the mean would indicate that possibly a fair amount of being a short coming in to Monday, which your system was short on Monday. And of course, the markets got hammered, you know, fairly good on Monday. And that's kind of how the model works. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it definitely prices in that kind of, it does price in, you know, whether the VIX moved or not and by how much on a close-to-close basis. But, you know, we've talked about this many times before, and I think it's important to revisit it. The VIX is not necessarily a perfect indicator of future volatility. It's more an indicator of present volatility. And sometimes when the VIX is pricing $30, it's too late to put on that hedge. And I mean, I think that speaks a lot to your hedging program and how much you know about, you know, changing your positions and hedging your portfolio, because the VIX is not necessarily an indicator of future volatility. It's just actual volatility that's happening. And when the VIX pops, it's essentially sometimes too late to put the trade on,
you couldn't make more sense, because I think one of the biggest problems people try to control their own money make is that they get too involved in the moment, when it's not about the moment. It's about the longer term. And this is where your stuff really is cool. And we're going to come back and talk to more with Taylor, because, I want everybody to understand this is as close as I come to the speedy boys. Well, this is the speedy gal, but she's really not. She's not churning and burning. She is actually picking, based on proprietary indicators, a position on a daily basis. And I think that that's something that, you know, bears looking at. And again, it gets you away from the overall, the noise of the market. So when we come back, we're going to talk more with Taylor Blaisdell from the Title Group, really a veteran and worked for one of the best out of Goldman Sachs, and really has a very good, unique understanding of markets, which is one thing that, you know, the Bubba Show, we always recognize, is somebody's understanding of the overall market, because at the end of the day, you have to understand how a market works, or you can never really be that successful in it. So make sure you check out BubbaTrading.com and check out our new futures and hedging programs. We've got some great things going on, and people are just loving it. Like McDonald's earnings on Monday, they're loving the programs that we're offering, because we're helping either show them how to save or make more money. And again, check them out for yourself, and I'll be happy to give you any information you need. And as a rule, you will see articles that are written at the Bubba Show that are well ahead of the street. So make sure you check that out. We are with Taylor Blaisdell from The Tidal Group really got great platform. We're going to come back and talk more with her about that. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. If you miss a show, libertytalk.fm on demand. Other than that, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Stop Bubba Break. We'll be right back after the break.
In other words,
trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with our friend from the Blaisdell Group. No, I'm just kidding. I did that in the first episode. It's an accent from the Tidal Group. Taylor Blaisdell, experienced trader, options trader, futures trader, now developing or has developed her own unique form of, not really the Speedy Boys, because it's not that type of system, but it is all proprietary indicators and generated. So again, you were talking about volatility, and I couldn't agree with you more, Taylor, that again, you have to tune out all the other factors, because the spike in volatility on any given day or the collapse in volatility on any day does not necessarily mean that that same thing is going to happen tomorrow. Yes.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, a classic example of that, Todd, was last Friday. The market had priced in some serious risk intraday on Monday, which was some noise. And had you, thought, okay, I'm panicked because of what happened on Wednesday, you would have missed the move on Friday. And the VIX was very, very high on a relative basis over the last 3 years. On Wednesday and on Thursday going into Friday. So if you based all your trading on the VIX, it would be very difficult to have success, in my personal opinion, on a click-to-click basis. I think there's many useful ways to use the VIX to trade, but one of them is not, I don't think, predicting a future move. I think it's more about sort of looking at the rate of change on the VIX on a continuous basis versus just a day-to-day change, if that makes sense.
Oh, no, I agree. Listen, obviously, we can't get you on often enough because you're, way too busy for us little guys here. But we love them when you come on because you do get the world. And the unique thing that Taylor has besides her model here is when she was actually a floor trader, she was also what we used to call a map reader back in those days. And they were well ahead of the curve on all the stuff that you see today that's been all totally mechanized. She was doing it by hand back then. And that's why the understanding of a market. And that's why I think people get too caught up in the overall interday gyrations of any move. Because in any 1 minute, 5 minute, 10 minute move could happen, and in 5 minutes after that, it could be totally the opposite way by a ton. And that's why I think that you're saying and that you can't get so entrenched in that one short term move, which is why I think the average guy who's staring at his iPhone every 5 minutes to see what's going on in the market is making a mistake, because you're really throwing yourself off, and then you are creating your own noise, and that's never a good sign. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, imagine if you had made some extreme moves intraday on Wednesday when there was like a, I would consider a very severe reversal in the market. you know, that I don't think the VIX could have predicted. You know, I think if you want to trade the markets intraday, you have to be very experienced at trading intraday markets and not be as concerned with the big picture. So you sort of, I think, have to pick your spots. Are you trading intraday and managing your positions and willing to sit in front of a computer and watch them, or are you sort of a short-term to mid-term trader? You can't really be, I think, successful at both unless you're sitting in front of a screen all day, right? And it's a very unique time in the market. I mean, in 13, you saw, you know, that traditional, the second half of the year where the market just ripped up, and then 14, again, another straight rip up, which was, you know, extremely bullish. And then 15, the latter half of the year, so, you know, July past, you know, you saw there, you know, a lot more opportunity for two-way markets than you saw in the last 18 months. I think that's really valuable. And to be honest, a total opportunity to trade two ways and make, you know, possible trades. But I think that's where the market has changed. There's definitely opportunity. I think you just have to understand that sort of the intraday noise. If it's not something that you're used to trading or understand, it's difficult to be successful at that. Does that make sense?
No, I mean, I think you have to, again, I go through it all the time here on the show, and obviously you and I talk quite a bit, and it's so important for the average person to, you know, learn how to read a chart, learn how to understand. But, you know, again, I always, every time the market has a big opening to the downside, I always send out an email early in the morning saying, hey, relax, don't panic, be calm. You will have an opportunity. If you want to get out, you'll have the opportunity. Okay. But don't let the markets dictate to you what you have to do right now. And that's, I think, too many people, and especially investors, they create markets like they're day traders. And they're nowhere near that, and they really need to let markets kind of settle in, especially if you're on a longer time frame. I mean, if you're trading, you know, on a daily model or a weekly model, you can't worry about what happens 5 minutes to 5 minutes. It means absolutely nothing to your overall portfolio. Whereas if you're trading, yeah, like sometimes I'll trade sometimes as low as 1 minute charts, you know, if I'm, you know, because I do know how to part-time day trade if I feel like it, and I'm only looking for certain patterns that I'm willing to trade off of those patterns. You know, for example, I like to trade a blow-off pattern. You know, to me, that's a pretty easy trade. But you have to know what you're doing if you're going to do that. But average guy, they get too involved in news and too involved in what's going on versus your method. It doesn't care what Trump does, what Obama does. It doesn't care about anything. It looks at all the data that you have compiled it into. It makes the decision and it tells you what to do. And your judgment is, if the system sends off a major buy signal and the market opens dramatically higher, you're going to wait. And if it sends off a dramatic sell signal and opens dramatically lower, you're going to wait. But other than that, you're pretty much wrote right by the machine, correct?
That's correct.
And that is something that we always preach in this business in general. And I'm sure you had a great teacher and you were great on the floor. And that is, you have to manage your money. You have to manage the way that you trade your money, because at the end, everything comes back down to discipline and patience and giving things an opportunity to do what you think they were going to do without trying to be a minute by minute, second by second person. So you have to let the time stretch. And that's what I really like about, you know, I mean, I know if I'm using your model, which I do, and I'm short, I don't have to watch. I know that I'm short, and if it's up, it's up. It'll, you know, I'll get it over time, because it doesn't matter. Again, we can't ever look at one day as a result or a couple of days as a result, because if you're grinding out, it's the period of long extension, not 1 or 2 days. Is that correct?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. The model is not designed to be successful intraday. And we saw we were short on Friday, and those days are painful when you're wrong way. But the goal of the model is not to be bright every single day, but to have success over medium time frames on sort of, you know, those 5 to 10% moves.
Right, you're trying to catch the trend.
You know, in time capsules over, you know, 10 days to, you know, two weeks trading or 3 weeks trading, and to capture those and to understand, are we in a very bullish market? Are we in a normal market environment? Are we in a risk off market? Right? Like right now, the market's you know, saying basically it's a risk off market, right? Where you can majorly change trade from the short side. But you know, that can change on a day to day basis. And the model says, okay, that's sort of the basis of where it starts. It says, tell me what kind of market we're trading in. And then based on that type of market environment, what position is successful over with these sort of inputs, and where is the VIX, and where did the market close, and where was IWM? I mean, a lot of people don't follow IWM, which is a Russell ETF, but it's a good indicator at looking at the fundamentals of the market and has equal or more volatility and is actually really good intraday trading signal, but also very helpful on a close-to-close basis. And I think it's sort of under... utilized by some traders or portfolio managers.
I call it the indicator of America. Okay, to me, those are small cap companies. I think that's the number one indicator. I've always used the RUT or the IWM as my indicator because to me, that is it as far as a great, you know, that really represents our country, in my opinion, because it's mostly American companies, small cap and whatever. But, you know, I think that your model is great. I enjoy trying to outguess it too, because that's always fun for me. Because I like, I try to work it. Because you know, I try to develop the same logic. You know, one of the things that I always try to do is develop the same logic that something that's successful develops. Right. So if I can kind of train myself to think like it's thinking, and not get caught up by the overall noise, that's kind of pretty cool, right? That's kind of what you want to do. And I think you do the same thing. You just won't admit to it.
You know what? You're right. I do, but I always follow the model.
I agree. No, I know you do. That's why we lost money last Friday, because I follow the model. I mean, no, I mean, really, I get it. That's what I mean. But it's the beauty of trying to see really what it does, and what you do is that you kind of bring yourself in tune with the market, and you look at it from a different perspective without any emotion, which is the most important thing you can do in any market when you're trading or investing, because emotions always lose. And it's just like in any relationship. Anything you do, if you get emotional, you're going to lose. And Taylor Blaisdell from the Title Group, I always appreciate when you can spend some time with us. I know you're awfully busy with all of your programming and your trading and all the other stuff, but it's always great that you can come and join me on the show. I really appreciate your time.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm happy to come on, and I will continue to do so. Hopefully, we can get this market to price where it's supposed to price and create some opportunity.
It'll be great. And this has been Taylor Blaisdell. Check her out at the Title Group. What is your website real quick before we go to break?
Titlegroup.com, TIDALGRP.com.
Title Group, TIDALGRP.com. Check her out. Again, very interesting. It's a great model. It's a lot of fun, and you don't have to think about it. It just automatically does it for you. This is the Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop out of here for a break. But remember, you miss an episode, go to libertytalk.fm, and you can always get them on demand. Other than that, we were with Taylor Blaisdell from the Title Group. This is the Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break.
The Bubba Show. Fred Ebb and John Kander, orchestrated by...
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And as you know, I do a lot of stuff and work with Stuart Varney on Fox Business. And he had just come back from his vacation. And let's hear what Stuart and I got to discuss the other day. Here we go. Here's me with Stuart Varney.
1,000, down about 500 points from where it was before I went away. We're now up 18 points. The trading session has begun. We're up 17 points. The trend is ugly. We're up 22 points. We're up 23 points. Not going very far. The backdrop to the market this morning, in my opinion, is the economy, sluggish at best. And it seems to me that the government's run out of tools to fix it. To discuss this, let's bring in Ashley Webster, Liz McDonald, Todd Horowitz, and Mike Murphy. Todd, to you first. My statement was, the economy's slowing, we're out of tools to fix it. You agree with that?
Good morning, Stuart. Welcome back. I can't wait for that 11 o'clock shot I can see in those trunks, but yes, I agree 100%. The markets, look, if we're doing so well and the economy is in such great shape, why is the Fed on the front page every day? Why is one central bank after another out manipulating the markets? If we're in such great shape, why do we continue to see that? I can't quite figure it out, but it's either the People's Bank of China, Mario Draghi, or Janet Yellen, but every day one of them is doing some financial engineering, and to me, it reeks of a lot more trouble than they're willing to admit.
Okay, Liz. Do we have any tool in the administration's toolbox to fix a slowing economy?
Not in this administration's toolbox. You know, Todd is right. It looks like the Fed officials have been talking. It seems like they've been talking since Clinton was in the White House. They do so much talking. But, you know, the one thing that any administration could deliver is more upbeat rhetoric. I'm sorry, the downbeat talk out of this administration is a sour x-ray blanket on the entire U.S. economy. They have run out of tools for sure. The Fed can't raise rates in this environment, according to Wall Street analysts. And, you know, more government spending when the CBO says $30 trillion now, government debt, by in 20 years, that's a lot.
Mike, you've got a different take on this, haven't you?
I do. I think that we're in an economy that's growing at roughly 2%. And I think that because that's what the statistics tell you. So that's where we are right now. So I don't think that tells me you need more stimulus. I don't think we necessarily need to raise rates right now. But I think if you look at Fed funds futures, they're telling you you get 2 to 3 more rate hikes this year. This Fed has told us, Stuart, the Fed has told us that they're data dependent. They're watching the data. I've been trying to say to watch the data on corporate earnings.
You're killing me.
Corporate earnings
are
coming in. What do you got?
I don't care about the Fed. I don't care. I want to know how we're going to get 4% growth. We're not going to get 4% growth with the policies that we've got in place.
That's right.
We're not going to get 4% growth no matter what the Federal Reserve does. We're not going to get it.
Exactly. But you're not going to get, you're not looking for 4% growth at 0% interest rates. We're not in an environment that's calling for 0% interest rates. Agreed?
We've had 4% growth more than half the time since World War II. This is not out of the realm of possibility.
Show me the policy which we can adopt now, which we're likely to adopt now, which will give me 3% growth or 4% growth. You can't tell me.
I couldn't agree more. Well, I believe 0% interest rates are not where we want to be. This isn't 2008. We're not in the middle of a financial crisis. I don't think it's necessary.
Todd, come on into this.
Hey, listen, they took $4 trillion and threw it in the garbage can. Why didn't they put people back to work? You want to improve the growth. Put people back to real work and real jobs in this country instead of continuing to create jobs at McDonald's, Walmart.
You
take the $4 trillion.
Tax cuts.
No, and instead of putting the money into the banks and letting them get zero interest, borrow at zero and get 2.25% from the Fed, from the government, put it to work and rebuild America like they do when they create the war effect. That's what we want to do, is create the war effect.
How do you get the banks to push the money out? How do you do that?
You end some of the regulations on them. So we've over-regulated the banks. We've over-fined the banks. So you look at the bank earnings. They still talk about fines they're paying. They still talk about having to pay legal expenses. So we need, the administration has decided since 2008 the financial crisis was the workings of Wall Street. So therefore, they're going to continue to punish Wall Street. That doesn't help create jobs.
Get the government out of the way and bring back the animal spirits in the economy.
What's wrong with American capitalism that can't fix this?
Get 100%.
Out the way. Look at Apple stock, please. Profits come out after the closing bell this afternoon. Is there some talk of a cheaper iPhone?
Well, there is. They've already done this, Stu, around the world. We know the strong dollar has killed Apple because their products are getting so expensive. In India, they dropped the cost of an iPhone 5S, which is the smaller, cheaper version, 43%. They're doing the same thing elsewhere. There is speculation that they may do that here in the U.S. as well. The iPhone 7 scheduled for release sometime in September. Of course, all the eyes will be on Apple after the bell today, and I think they're going to be looking at that March revenue projection because they could show, for the first time ever, year-over-year sales decline, which would indicate that perhaps the iPhone market is saturated. And do we, from this point onwards, see that iPhone, you know, which is the linchpin for Apple, is there a problem there with
the if there was a drop in iPhone sales for the first time in a long, long time, if that happened, that stock goes way down, doesn't it, Apple?
Well, a lot of it might be priced in. We've been talking about Apple sales declining for a very long time now. The stock's gone from 130 down to 100 right now. But remember, Stuart, 8.9. Apple trades 8.9 times earnings.
That's all.
That's great.
That's a low multiple.
Very low multiple.
Oh, by the way, now the Dow Industrials are up 140 odd points. The price of oil is up a little bit. There's a relationship is still going. Look at the price of oil now, please, because it is the price of oil that dictates the stock market's value. Right now, we're at 30.86, up 52 cents on the upside. Dow's up 142. But Todd, are you still looking for another leg down for oil, down to 2025? Still looking for that?
No, I'm not. I thought that when we talked before you on vacation, I thought that 25 or 26 is a pretty good area to be a buyer. Now, it could go back down there. I can't say that it won't go down, but certainly for my money, I'm a buyer of oil. I'm a buyer of the whole commodity space here. I think they've been well overdone, and if we get some real growth and we get some real opportunity and we get some maybe those taxes, whatever, the commodity space is going to take off, because the real problem isn't the commodity problem. It's the dollar problem. Too strong of a dollar creates a lot weaker commodity prices. So if we can get some things going on, get a weaker dollar, it's going to push our prices higher, and I think that's what's going to happen here very shortly.
That's interesting. Todd Horowitz is buying commodities. How?
And, of course, I am buying commodities and have been doing so for a while here, as I think that certainly we've seen the bottom area, and, you know, it doesn't mean that this is the absolute bottom, but what it does mean is that I think the opportunity is in that space, and I think that that's where we want to be, is we want to make sure that we are in the best position, once again, as always, to be in an area of success versus an area of failure. And that, I think, gives us the best opportunity for success, is to be involved in the commodity space, as it has been well overdone, well pounded down. And again, as an investor, you're looking for the ability to compound the endowment model of your business, which is your portfolio, and allow you to be ready for the next step. And that is always what it is here on The Bubba Show, is preparing you to be ready to go to that next step. Because that's how you become a successful investor. That's how you become a successful person involved in the market. And that is how you grow wealth. And that is what our mantra here for you is if you remember the book, Think and Grow Rich, we're going to teach you how to do and make wealth. And that is the whole story of The Bubba Show, which is why we talk about hedging, and we talk about protecting, and we talk about compounding, and why we continue to be disturbed at the current action being taken place. But the rest is on you. You need to go to BubbaTrading.com. You need to look at what we're talking about. Look what we're writing. Look at some of the programs we are offering to you, because you'll find the right program to fit your portfolio, to fit who you are as an investor and a trader, to make you better. And what another great show it was today. And of course, if you've missed any, you go to libertytalk.fm. They are always posted there on a daily basis, waiting for you in case you can't get there during the day. Everybody have a great weekend. We will see you back here on Monday. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We truly enjoy presenting and being with you on a daily basis. We'll see you back here on Monday. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.